Elon Musk was 30 times old and formerly a multimillionaire, but he didn't look or act like one. No palaces, no sports motor cars, no lazy recesses. Rather, he was restless, haunted indeed. The trade of PayPal had left him rich beyond imagination, yet completely unsatisfied. He didn't want to be another Fleck com millionaire. He wanted to do commodity that signified, commodity that would push humanity forward. In late 2001, he started asking a question that sounded insane to everyone else: why aren't we on Mars yet? He was then joking. Musk genuinely believed that humanity's long-term survival depended on getting a multi-Earth species. The idea wasn't just romantic, it was existential. However, if civilization collapsed, or if we simply stagnated, if Earth was hit by a disastrous asteroid, that study alarmed him. So he decided to do commodity about it. The Mars mission that no way was at first. Elon didn't plan to start a rocket company. He just wanted to spark public interest in space exploration again. NASA, he noticed, had no clear plan for mortal agreement beyond Earth. Budgets were shrinking, excitement was gone, and the dream of space had faded into nostalgia. His idea was to fund a small attention-grabbing charge called Mars Oasis. The plan was simple but bold: shoot a small hothouse to Mars and grow shops in Martian soil. It would enchange wisdom, but it would inspire people to remind the world that space was still possible. In October 2001, he flew to Moscow with a small team of space suckers to try to buy a refurbished Russian ICBM that could carry the weight. The trip was a disaster. The Russians dismissed him as a naive tech millionaire playing astronaut. At one meeting, an architect wrangled at his shoes. Another time, a general laughed and said, "You don't have the capitalist for this." On the flight back to the U.S., Elon sat still, peering out the window, doing computation on a tablet. By the time they landed, he had exposure rockets were ain't that precious to make. Companies just made them expensive. However, he could reduce launch costs by an order of magnitude if he could make applicable rockets. He turned to companions and said nearly casually, "I suppose we can make this ourselves." They allowed he was crazy. But that was the moment SpaceX was born. Structured from nothing in early 2002, Musk founded Space Exploration Technologies Corporation, SpaceX for short. He poured $100 million of his own capitalist into it. No investors, no safety net. He set up shop in El Segundo, California, hiring engineers who shared his impossible intentions. The early team was a mix of idealists and maniacs, immature, brilliant, and willing to work 100-hour weeks for a chance to change the world. Elon was then a rocket scientist, but he learned presto. He devoured textbooks, hired experts, and asked grim questions. He didn't watch about titles or scales. He watched about results. To him, everything was an engineering problem that could be answered with sense, data, and mulishness. Their first thing was to make a small, affordable rocket that could reach out the Falcon 1. It would be powered by a new machine called Merlin, developed entirely in-house. That decision, to make their own machines rather than buying being bones, was serious, skirting on reckless. But it also gave SpaceX full control over design and cost. Musk's operation style snappily came fabulous. He was both inspiring and unbearable. One architect recalled, "He'd ask you to achieve commodity impossible, and when you said it couldn't be done, he'd just blink at you and say, 'You're fired if it's CAN't.' It was an atrocity, it was obsession. He demanded perfection because he believed anything lower meant failure. They were trying to do what entire governments plotted to achieve with a nascency budget and rented hangars. The dream meets reality. By 2005, SpaceX was ready to test Falcon 1. The launch point was set on Omelet Island, a remote patch of sand in the Marshall Islands, chosen for its sequestration and contiguity to the dimension. The team worked in blistering heat, sleeping in dispatching holders and swatting mosquitoes the size of thumbnails. Elon visited constantly, sleeping on the same bottom as his engineers. The first launch, in March 2006, was a disaster. The rocket rose for 25 seconds before catching fire and crashing into the ocean. Times of work, millions of bones gone in half a minute. Utmost people would have quit. Elon did indeed blink. We learn a lot, he said loudly, his voice flat, logical. Next one will work. They went back to California and rebuilt everything from scrape. The alternate launch came in March 2007. This time, the rocket made it through takeoff and ascent but failed to reach route due to an energy leak. Another multimillion, bone failure. Investors began to brood that Musk was delusional. The media mocked SpaceX as a vanity design. The third launch in August 2008 got closer still. It reached stage separation but lost ability and exploded. Three failures in a row. Indeed, the most pious engineers began to lose faith. Elon didn't. He was running out of capitalists, but not conviction. "We have enough for one farther pass," he told the team. "This bone has to work." Behind the calm tone, he was under incredible pressure. Tesla, his other company, was collapsing at the same time. His marriage was falling incremental. He was on the verge of losing everything. Financially, emotionally, physically. But quitting wasn't an option. He formally said, "If commodity is important enough, indeed if the odds are against you, you should still do it." Those weren't just words. He was living them. The fourth flight on September 28, 2008, after time's reduction and heartbreak, SpaceX launched the fourth Falcon 1. Everyone held their breath. The preamble hit zero, the machines burned, and the rocket climbed fairly into the sky. Beats passed. No explosion. Stage separation succeeded. The team peered at the spectators in non-belief as the rocket reached route. Also, over the radio, came the words they'd been staying times to hear: "Falcon 1 has achieved Earth route." The control room erupted. Engineers cried openly. Elon stood still for a moment, silent. Also smiled, a rare, small, exhausted smile. He'd done what nearly everyone said was impossible. A door opens, a timing could end up in more dramatic. SpaceX had just weeks of cash left. However, it would have been over if the fourth launch had failed. Rather, it changed everything. Soon latterly, NASA awarded SpaceX a $1.6 billion contract to deliver weight to the International Space Station under the Commercial Resupply Services Program. That deal saved the company and legitimized private spaceflight. Elon Musk, the foreigner with no aerospace background, had forced his way into one of the most exclusive industriousness on Earth. That night, back at SpaceX headquarters, he thanked his exhausted team. Also, still, he stepped outside. The sky over Los Angeles was clear, and he could see numerous faint stars through the municipality haze. He was celebrating. He was calculating. The Falcon 1 was just a morning. The coming rocket, Falcon 9, would be bigger, hastily, and applicable. The long-term plan was formally taking shape in his mind, a colony on Mars, erected by rockets that could land, refuel, and fly again. Everyone else saw a miracle that night. Elon saw a prototype. It was 2004. Elon Musk was juggling SpaceX, a failing marriage, and the constant hum of exhaustion. Utmost people in his position would have faded to an island nearly and lived off there. Millions. But Musk wasn't wired for comfort. He was chasing commodity fresh. Impact. That same time, a small group of engineers in Silicon Valley were trying to do commodity, nearly equally crazy, make an electric sports bus that didn't stink. They called their nascency Tesla Motors, named after the Serbian genius Nikola Tesla. Their plan was simple but bold: prove that electric motor cars could be presto, beautiful, and desirable. Elon heard about Tesla through a collaborative friend and was directly hooked. He'd always believed that transportation had to go electric to avoid climate collapse. Also was his chance to make it real. At first, he didn't plan to run the company. He just wanted to fund it. But as usual, once he was in, he was all in. The first meeting, when Elon met Martin Eberhard and Mark Tarpenning, Tesla's authors, he was impressed by their prototype, a hand, erected generality that looked more like a garage design than a revolution. But the technology had implicit. They were using lithium-ion batteries, the same kind set up in laptops, whisked by the thousands to power a bus. Eberhard spoke with passion, explaining how these batteries could deliver unknown range and performance. Musk heeded, seesawing occasionally, asking hard questions about effectiveness, scalability, and cost per kilowatt hour. At the end of the meeting, he leaned back and said, If you can make this, I'll fund it. A numerous week subsequently, Musk invested $6.5 million in Tesla's first major backing round, getting its largest shareholder and chairman of the board. It sounded like a dream cooperation, visionary investors backing visionary engineers. It wouldn't stay that way for long. Erecting the Roadster, the early Tesla team worked out a small plant in San Carlos, California, girdled by piles of batteries, lines, and prototypes. Their first model, the Tesla Roadster, was predicated on a modified Lotus Elise chassis. The idea was to produce an electric sports bus that could go from 0 to 60 in under 4 seconds, faster than a Porsche. It sounded impossible. Indeed, major automakers with billions in R&D had failed to make electric motor cars that didn't feel like glorified golf carts. But Tesla wasn't playing by the same rules. Elon dove into the details. Though he was then involved in quotidian operations, his fingerprints began to appear far and wide, from design choices to performance targets. He pushed for farther range, farther acceleration, farther ambition. His emails were ignominious, long, violent, and oppressively direct. He wanted perfection. Failure, he'd write, is an option. We're not erecting another bus. We're erecting the future. The problem was, the future was precious. Every upgrade meant attainments and cost overruns. The Roadster's price ballooned from $90,000 to nearly $140,000 per unit. Suppliers backed out. Deadlines slipped. Cash was burning presto. By 2006, pressures between Musk and Eberhard were boiling. Musk wanted tighter control. Eberhard wanted independence. The showdown, the first prototype of the Tesla Roadster, ultimately debuted in July 2006 in Santa Monica. The event drew celebrities, investors, and media. The satiny red bus rolled still across the stage, and when the crowd realized it was on, not chilling, they erupted in applause. It was beautiful, quiet, fast, a symbol of possibility. But behind the scenes, chaos was growing. The bus worked, but slightly. Product costs were out of control. The battery packs overheated. The transmission kept failing. Eberhard and Musk disaccorded constantly over priorities. By late 2007, the board, frustrated with detainments and mismanagement, ousted Martin Eberhard as CEO. Elon didn't take the title directly, but he was now effectively running the company. It was a brutal moment for both men. Musk respected Eberhard's technical mind, but he believed Tesla would die without decisive leadership. For Eberhard, it was disloyalty. The fallout would come one of the ugly chapters in Tesla's history. Suits, public arguments, and a bitter war over who really founded Tesla. But while attorneys argued, Elon went back to work. The edge of collapse by 2008, Tesla was in serious trouble. Product was still delayed, costs were twisting, and the global economy was worsening. SpaceX had just failed its third launch, and Elon had poured ultimate of his fortune into both companies. He was running out of capitalists. Presto, at one point, he would have to choose which bills to pay, Tesla's payroll or SpaceX's test corridor. He resolved what was left of his particular fortune between them, hoping at least one would survive. Investors started calling him reckless. Buddies supplicated him to stop. His first woman, Justine, was gone, and his particular life was unraveling. He described those months subsequently as the worst time of my life. Still, he refused to quit. He fired anyone who said impossible. Tech called suppliers, reasoned contracts, and indeed tested factors himself. When engineers told him a part couldn't be erected cheaper, he'd stay over all night sketching druthers. He'd say, I'd rather be wrong than a recreant. The moment of truth also came the storm, literally. In September 2008, the U.S. financial system collapsed. Lehman Sisters fell. Credit requests set. Tesla was nearly out of cash, and investors dissolved overnight. It looked like the end. On Christmas Eve 2008, with the company days from ruin, Elon managed to close a last-minute backing round worth $40 million. The deal saved Tesla by bare hours. That same week, SpaceX learned it had won the NASA weight contract, the bone that would save it too. Both companies survived, slightly, in the same week. Musk subsequently said, "That was the closest I ever came to dying from stress." The first car vessels in early 2009, after times of chaos, the first product Tesla Roadsters ultimately packed to guests. The bus was stirring. It was quiet, presto, and suitable of traveling over 240 long hauls on a single charge, a record for any electric bus at the time. Every critic who drove it came down astounded. "The future does ant roar at whispers," one wrote. Tesla had done what the elephants of Detroit couldn't make: an electric bus that people actually wanted. But for Elon, it was just the morning. The Roadster was a substantiation of generality. The real thing was to make a mass, request electric bus, a vehicle ordinary people could go. That would take another decade, billions more bones, and more sleepless nights than anyone could count. Still, he would made it through the fire. SpaceX was alive. Tesla was alive. Slightly, but alive. That time, when asked how he kept going through so multitudinous near failures, Musk answered with characteristic plainness, "Pain doesn't matter if the charge is worth it." And in his mind, it still was. By the late 1990s, the internet was exploding. Fleck, comm startups were multiplying like stars in a new world, and investors were throwing capitalists at anything ending in com. Elon Musk, recently amended from the trade of Zip 2, was ent planning to rest. He was formerly restless, convinced the coming frontier was ent maps or news, it was capitalist itself. The spark in 1999, after dealing Zip 2 to Compaq for over $300 million, Musk pocketed around $22 million after impositions. He was 28 and suddenly rich enough to do anything. He could have retired, bought motor cars, invested passively. Rather, he started allowing about how absurdly outdated banking was. Transferring capitalists across borders took days. Opening accounts was slow. Credit card freights were ridiculous. Yet people were now buying everything online. Surely capitalist itself should live online too. He started sketching ideas in his tablet. What if you could store, shoot, and manage capitalist entirely online, directly, from anywhere? What if the financial system worked at the speed of the internet? That idea came X.com, a name that made investors raise their eyebrows, but perfectly fit Musk's style: short, mysterious, slightly dangerous. X.com is born. Elon founded X.com in March 1999, leasing a small office on Palo Alto's University Avenue. His thing was ent modest. He wanted to revise global banking. He poured $12 million of his own capitalists into the company and hired a small team of coders, engineers, and idealizers. They worked insane hours, sleeping under divisions, chasing a single vision made capitalists move online as easily as dispatch. Musk was both the visionary and the Machiavellian. He wrote early law, reviewed designs, and drilled the team with long, technical questions. The culture was pure intensity, an early regard of the style that would subsequently define Tesla and SpaceX. X.com's early interface was simple but revolutionary. You could subscribe up online, link your bank account, and shoot finances directly to anyone's dispatch. No checks, no waiting. For 1999, it was magic, but magic rarely goes unchallenged. The rival appears around the same time, across Megacity. Another nascency had launched with a similar idea, Confinity, founded by Peter Thiel, Max Levchin, and Luke Nosek. Their product, PayPal, allowed stoners to shoot capitalists through Palm Pilots and subsequently by dispatch. Both companies were attacking the same problem, digital capitalist transfer, but from different angles. Soon, they noticed each other. At first, there was pressure. Each saw the other as a trouble. They began contending for stoners, offering referral lanyaps to attract new signups. At one point, both platforms paid guests $10 just for joining, burning through cash like rocket energy. The contest escalated into a full-blown war for stoners. But the battle was unsustainable. The Fleck calm bubble was starting to wobble, and both companies were bleeding capitalist. Investors began to brute the ineludible merge, or die. The merger in March 2000, X.com and Confinity immingled. The new reality would subsequently take the name of the farther popular product, PayPal. Elon came CEO of the combined company. Thiel took a board seat. Levchin stayed on to lead security and engineering. For a brief moment, it looked like a perfect match. Musk's grim drive paired with Thiel's strategy and Levchin's technical brilliance. But the peace wouldn't last. Inside the company, two societies disaccorded. Musk wanted X.com to evolve into a full-service digital bank. Savings, loans, insurance, everything. Thiel and Levchin wanted to concentrate hardly on online payments, believing that was the winning play. To make matters worse, Musk claimed on migrating the platform from Unix to Microsoft software. Levchin advised it could beget instability. He was right. The system crashed constantly, causing massive technical headaches. Investors began to scarify. The achievement by September 2000, Elon and his new woman, Justine, ultimately took a brief honeymoon in Australia. He'd slightly left when a dispatch storm started brewing back home. While he was down, the board suggested to remove Musk as CEO, replacing him with Peter Thiel. It was a quiet achievement. The decision hit Elon mid-flight when he opened his laptop and set up a communication informing him he was out. He was furious, hurt, too, but didn't go nuclear. He still believed in the charge and kept his shares. "I just wanted the company to succeed," he said subsequently. It did. The PayPal moment under Thiel's leadership. PayPal concentrated solely on what worked, online payments, especially through eBay, which was exploding in popularity. The strategy was perfect. Within months, PayPal came the dereliction payment system for eBay merchandisers. Growth soared. In February 2002, eBay acquired PayPal for $1.5 billion in stock. Musk's share, roughly 11, earned him $180 million before impositions. He was 31 times old. That trade formed a now fabulous PayPal mafia, a group of former workers and authors who would go on to start companies like YouTube, LinkedIn, Yelp, and Palantir. But Elon's path was formally veering toward commodity far more audacious. The bigger dream, while others in the PayPal mafia stayed in tech or finance, Musk began talking about space. He'd been reading about the Mars Society, about NASA's recession, about how humanity had stopped exploring. He told buddies he wanted to make life multiplanetary. They laughed, allowing he was joking. He was ent. That same time, he began probing rocket manufacturing costs, visiting Russian factories, and scribbling numbers on napkins. He discovered it bring $60 million to launch indeed a small rocket, an ultimate of that was attacked that was ent reused. "That's insane," he said. "We could make it ourselves for a bit of that." The coming step was obvious to him, if not to anyone else, start a private space company. And with that decision, Elon Musk left the internet ahead and set his sights on the stars. He'd formally change how we communicate and pay. Now, he wanted to change how we leave Earth. Everyone allowed he'd lost his mind. He was just getting started.